Good morning, everyone, and to those watching online as well, welcome to St. Mary's Cathedral in our 9 a.m. service. Pleasure to be able to preach here this morning. We're in our Nehemiah series, so if you've been with us from the middle of the year, we've been going through Revelation, and now we're just taking a break, going through the Old Testament. It's good to have the Old Testament in our preaching and to go through the book of Nehemiah. So you have a Bible in front of your pews, you can grab one of those. There's an order of service somewhere, the QR code or the physical order of service. There's an outline of the sermon. It'd probably be helpful to be following along as well. So before I preach, let me pray as we ask God's help this morning. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning. Pray, Lord God, that you enable us, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, to hear what you have to say to us this morning through the preaching of your word. Enable me to speak clearly as well, so that your people here may be edified and grow into maturity in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just to share a bit about myself, one of my favorite things to do in life is to pastor the next generation. The youths in this church, and they're gathering right now at 9 a.m., right in one of the rooms behind, and also the university students at 10 a.m. on Saturdays. So if you're a university student and you're a youth looking for a community to belong to, by all means, come and find me. And they're all these young people are growing respectively in their ways, and God has been very gracious to the ministry. But in terms of the youth, just to share with you, a couple of weeks ago, we went on this little retreat. We had a little camp for 3 days and 2 nights. So we studied the Bible, we played games, they had a lot of fun, just typical youth camp stuff, and we just had a good time fellowshipping with each other under God's word. Now, I think the highlights of the camp was this team building activity that we did in camp. So it was for a 3-hour period, the campers or the youths were teacher free and they were helpers, supervision free in that sense, not really lah, but temporarily supervision free. And they had to, in these 3 hours, as a collective youth group, prepare a Thanksgiving dinner for the helpers, for the teachers, for me essentially, to thank me in that sense for hosting the camp. So they had to come together to host this group project. And to their credit, they did absolutely amazing, right? They were divided into teams. You can imagine the loudest person in the room. Okay, you do this, you do this, you go and cook and things like that, right? So they all had different roles in this group project, right? So some thought that they were Gordon Ramsay, ran straight into the kitchen, started cooking, right? Some were preparing a performance. Some were MC. Some were just cleaning up the room and tidying up the table so to serve this dinner. And what I think they learn across this process of preparing the dinner is that it's not easy. That by God's grace, I think they learned that they needed each other, that they could not do this on their own, that by themselves, they could not carry out this task of performing or carrying out this dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and so on. Just as how we as a church, as we seek to build up St. Mary's Cathedral, or build up God's kingdom wherever you're from, we all have a role to play in building this church. We can't do this alone. Similarly to how the Jews in Nehemiah's time, they could not do it alone in their attempts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So last week, we started off in Nehemiah. We saw God's servant, Nehemiah, he being very heartbroken about the condition of his home city, the walls, and so on and so forth. He pleaded with the king. He got the approval from the king. He got a letter, and he went back home to rebuild the walls. Just to bring up, there are certain groups of people, the enemies of the Jews, Sanballat, Tobiah, and their army, they will be continuing to oppose the Jewish people even today, as we will see. But just to remind us of what we saw last week in the last verse of chapter 2, right, as Sanballat and Tobiah were hurling insults at Nehemiah, this is what Nehemiah says to them. He says, "The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem." So there's God enemies against God's people, but nonetheless, as God's people, we will arise and rebuild the walls. Similarly today, we as a church similarly must arise in the face of opposition to build God's kingdom together. And unlike, you know, we've been watching the Euros, England won yesterday, woohoo, the Euros, and there are 22 footballers on the pitch, and there's so many spectators around watching 22 people kick a ball. Church work is not like that. Building God's kingdom is not like that. It's not like 22 pastors kicking a ball and everyone just watching, but everyone plays a role. Everyone plays a part in this game, in this group project that we are all called to, which is building God's kingdom. So with that, we'll come to Nehemiah chapter 3. We didn't read it just now in our Old Testament reading, but we'll go through it. So if you have your Bible in front of you, you just notice as you just scan through Nehemiah 3, I won't go through everything. If I go through everything, we'll be here forever. But we'll just scan through it, and you notice a bunch of names, right? A bunch of names doing this and doing that, fixing this part of the wall, rebuilding that part of the wall, that person doing this, that person doing that. Right? A total group of approximately 40 or so people are mentioned in the whole of chapter 3 and in their work in rebuilding the wall. It's as if the whole 9 a.m. congregation were to rebuild the roof of the cathedral, right? Andrew was doing this part, Philip is doing this part, and all of us are doing our parts in rebuilding the roof, right? But what we must see here is important, that this is not an individual accomplishment on behalf of certain tribes or certain people in rebuilding certain parts of the wall. But we can see from the text, right? If you notice, the phrase next to them was repeated a lot. This person built this, and next to them, this person built this. Next to them, this person built this. Next to them, next to them, next to them, next to them, next to them. So it's not an individual accomplishment that Nehemiah is trying to highlight, but rather a collective effort of God's people rebuilding the wall. But how does rebuilding a wall almost 3,000, 4,000 years ago have to do with us today? Well, we are not building a physical wall per se, and none of us are actually building the roof here per se. But we are all here, as I mentioned, rebuilding, or rather building God's kingdom together, building up the church today. You see, the walls, the temple, the city are which in a place where God's people gather. And today, where do God's people gather? The church. Not the actual building per se, but as God's people, we gather together. And the key thing for us is to see that no matter what stage of life you are currently in, we all play a part in this big group project. And we can see that in Nehemiah chapter 3. So for example, in verse 1, just to pull out for examples, in verse 1, we see that the high priest and the other priests arose to build the sheep's gate. Now, what is the sheep's gate? Well, the sheep's gate is a gate where the sheep that will be brought to the temple to be sacrificed, that is where the sheep will come in, and that's where the sheep will go out. That is why in the text it says that this particular sheep's gate is consecrated, or is set apart. It's set apart for a specific purpose for sacrifice. So we can see that the high priest and priests who normally are in the temple, well, no, they got their hands dirty. They got into rebuilding the walls. Now, to contrast this with some people we see in verse 5. Verse 5, Nehemiah tells us that the Tekoites, or some of the nobles of the Tekoites, refused to stoop down to serve their Lord. So one thing is for sure, that serving the Lord equals rebuilding the temple. Rebuilding the wall equals serving the Lord. So in some sense, whatever ministry we are in church today, whether we are arranging tables, whether we're doing the PowerPoint right now, whether in the choir or whether in the council, we all are serving the Lord in our various ways. But the Tekoites, on the other hand, Nehemiah singled them out. The nobles were aristocrats. They were the atas people in their high positions. They refused to stoop down. They refused to lower themselves to serve the Lord, to get their hands dirty and rebuild the wall. Those were the nobles. But what about us today? You see, at God's people, we should be Christians. We should be a people of God that no matter how high our position is in society or even in the church, that we will not think twice to get ourselves involved, to get ourselves in the mix, to build the church together. Because you see, friends, building a church or building God's kingdom requires people of different skills, different backgrounds, different upbringing. And we see that from the whole of Nehemiah chapter 3. Right? We see many, many different kinds of people. We see people like the goldsmiths. We see people like the perfumers. Very random, but the perfumers. We see people of rulers, people of high positions of different districts in Jerusalem. They were involved. We see women. We see sons, young children, young daughters, all people young and old involved in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. We saw that also in the New Testament, in the church, in our epistle reading just now in Ephesians 4. We see that Christ gave different roles to the church, and that the purpose is that all of us, you and I, as the body of Christ, as we work together, as we build one another up, we build each other in love. So it means all of us here, seated here today, and even the people watching online, we are all participating together in the building of God's kingdom. So the question to us, all of us here today, is that, are you doing so? Are you a part of this group project? Are you already doing some form of ministry in the church? Are you building up this local church, perhaps, that you call home in St. Mary's Cathedral? Or if you're visiting, building up the kingdom of God in wherever you come from? Are we striving side by side, together, for the gospel? Are we building each other up in love? Because I'll be very honest, and let us be very honest, it's so much easier just to stand aside and watch people rebuild the wall. So much more comfortable, even I have to admit that. It's so much easier to come to a Sunday service and just participate, enjoy an experience, and go home. It's much easier to do that. Now, of course, all of us here are in different seasons of our lives, and we don't want to be forcing people to do ministry. That is true. But the truth of the fact remains is that to examine your hearts, are you doing something? Are you holding up a chisel? Are you holding up a rope? Are you doing something? Are you in this together? Are you part of this group project? Because just to encourage you, there are a lot of things that as a congregation that you guys can be doing that the pastors can never do, that Andrew can never do, I can never do. We all are gifted uniquely in our own ways to serve the kingdom of God. So take heart in that. Take heart in that. So if you're considering, chat with a pastor if you want to serve, fill in, go to stmarys.my/serve to consider, to fill up a form of how you may be able to serve in church, whether it's in a big role or small role. You won't be just thrown into the deep end. You'll be guided, you'll be trained, you'll be chatted with, you'll be followed up with. We want to be doing something. Consider giving financially. We talked about our pledge, or rather our financial situation last week. Consider giving cheerfully to the ministry here in St. Mary's and to the work of God elsewhere. To pledge, to give financially. Because church, we all need to participate in this together. We can't rebuild the walls. We can't build God's kingdom alone. So would you consider that this morning, to come together to do this group project together? Because you see, one of the reasons why we need one another, we desperately can't do this together, is because there is an enemy. There's an enemy that is seeking at all costs to stop God's plan, to stop the rebuilding of the wall. And we see that in the entirety of Nehemiah chapter 4. We see God's enemies opposing the people who are rebuilding the wall. So in verse 1, we're reintroduced back to Sanballat. As they were building a wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. So he turned to his army and he started mocking the Jews in verse 2. He said this in a very sarcastic, mocking kind of tone. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish and burn once at that? You see, the enemies of God were not throwing physical taunting at them. They were throwing psychological mockery at the Jewish people. They were trying to tear down their confidence in rebuilding the wall, their confidence in God. Even Tobiah, right, Sanballat's friend, got in on the mocking, started trash-talking them, stating, even a sly, agile animal like a fox, at the moment as he runs on the walls will go poof and drop down. It's actually saying, if a fox could tear down the wall, what about an army that will come together, that will come and attack you? So friends, how do we respond to such a mocking? Well, if it was on an online discourse, we'll just send a comment and send it back. Or we might just shout at a person in anger in real life. But what does Nehemiah do? Well, in verse 4, he prays. He prays of what I like to call an imprecatory prayer. A prayer calling out or crying out and trusting in God's justice upon his enemies. We read that in our psalm reading just now in Psalm 69. Just an example, similar tone to what Nehemiah prays. In Psalm 69:20, it says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them, Lord, not be enrolled among the righteous." So it's a prayer not of revenge, not of anger, but it's a prayer in humble trust that God, who is holy, God, who is just, will deal with evil and deal with sin. This is Nehemiah's words. He says, "Hear, O our God," crying out to God, "for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in the land where they are captives." So just to pause here for a moment and to consider, for the Jews, the enemies were physical and literal, Sambala and Tobiah. But what about us today? As we seek to build God's kingdom, what or who are our enemies? Well, as we've been journeying through Revelation, we have seen a couple of our enemies, haven't we? We've seen that the devil, or the author of evil, of all evil, he is the enemy. Persecution that comes from outside the church, from some of our brothers and sisters all across the world, they are being persecuted now. Those are enemies. From inside the church, false teaching that can come from within. The way that the church wants to be like the world, there are so many enemies we saw in the book of Revelation. And our prayer is this, that as we strive to build God's kingdom, that we also at the same time trust that God will deal with the threats to the church in due time. That persecution might not end today. God might not end persecution right now. Probably He won't. But one fine day, that will all be over. Because God is a God who is holy. Our God is a God who is just. Our God is angry at evil. He's angry at sin. In verse 5, declares that their guilt will not be covered. The enemy's guilt, the enemy's sin will not be blotted out from the sight of God. So we should rejoice, brothers, that we know that our God will deal with all evil and all sin one fine day. And even in Revelation, we'll see towards the end of the year, we see a picture where one day all evil will be destroyed. There will be all tears will be wiped away, and it will be a big celebration of the goodness and justice of our God against all sin and all evil. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice that God will deal with those things in time. But to also reflect on ourselves for a moment, for those of us here who are not yet Christians, you've not yet known Jesus or trusted in the gospel of Jesus, and even for our reminders as Christians, as we think back to the time where we weren't trusting in the Lord, the reality is that all of us, the moment we are born, we have angered this God the same way that Sambala and Tobiah has. The reality is that all of us here have sinned against this holy God. We have guilt before God. Our sins should not have been blotted out in the eyes of God, and God rightly should have punished and dealt with our sins. And the only difference between you and I, friends, or rather between Christians and Sambala and Tobiah, is that instead of being shown anger and wrath, as Christians, we have been shown mercy in Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross, when He died, He took the price of sin. He took what was rightfully ours, He took it upon Himself. That He took the anger of God, because God loves us. And now that our sins are forgiven solely because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's the difference, that we've been shown mercy. It's through this gospel. And as a people of God, we gather this morning as the church. That is the message that we stand on. That is the gospel that we hold on to. That is the foundation in which the church of our Lord Jesus Christ will be built and continue to be built by us. Because just as a friendly reminder, we're not here to build St. Mary's name to bigger heights and bigger names. We're not doing it for Andrew's reputation or something like that. But we're rebuilding, or rather we are building up the church, rebuilding the walls, so to speak, in response to the grace of God that has already been shown to us in Christ. So let us do that. Let us always remind ourselves that the gospel is what prompts us forward to do ministry, to serve, to be in church today. Well, the story continues. After Nehemiah prays, unfortunately, the enemies did not stop. It's not like after he prayed, everything was all well. The threat of the enemy increased. They went from psychologically mocking them to actually attempting to go and fight them and attack them. But Nehemiah, well, and Co, they did not panic. Oh, after verse 9, after knowing that the enemies are coming, guess what they did again? They prayed. They trusted God to protect them. But they did not stop there. Of course, they prayed and they trusted God, but they also planned. They also had action. They set in motion different strategies to protect themselves against the attack. So we see on one hand a very real thing that God is in control, but at the same time, we are responsible to work things out in real time and trusting that God will protect us in the meantime. But unfortunately, when the going gets tough, there are some people who crumbled under the pressure. What was supposed to be a united front of Jews in rebuilding the wall, this group effort, some people, unfortunately, they started to back out. They started to fear. They feared, no, this, the enemies are coming, come back, stop it, stop rebuilding the walls, come back, we cannot finish, this is a doomed project, stop. Some people were fearing. But Nehemiah, we see here in this chapter, he's a great leader. Nehemiah responded, instead of in fear, he responded to these stressful demands and situations in the right way. Well, he, as I mentioned, set up strategic measures. While certain people were rebuilding the wall, there were a group of people standing by with a sword ready to fight the enemy. He even used words to encourage them in verse 14. He says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." He kept encouraging them with his words. But not only that, he also acted out in action. He was not only all talk, but he was working as well. That Nehemiah built alongside them, he got his hands dirty, and he also held a sword and a weapon ready to fight against the enemy. You see, church, we need leaders like this in the midst of our time, leaders like Nehemiah, who is calm under pressure, who trusts in God, yet who is wise to plan well and not to react in a negative and fearful way, but to press on in the task that God has called him to do. Who will speak forth, leaders, to speak forth words of encouragement when the time is needed. So if you are in a leadership capacity here in church, may I encourage you to be calm, to be servant-hearted, to trust in the Lord as you serve the church today. But for most of us here, if you are not in a leadership capacity, would you be praying for them? Would you be coming alongside them? The pastors, the council members, the GG leaders that are leading Bible studies every week and shepherding their own groups. The ministry leaders from the Golden Council all the way to the Cathedral Women's Fellowship. The kids' church teachers, whatever it is, may our church journey alongside these leaders. And may our church will raise up leaders that will trust in God's sovereignty, but at the same time work hard and plan well for ministry in this time. May we do so. Now, although majority of this sermon so far, it has been about leadership and how God's people, we come together to build the church. But just as a reminder, once again, in actuality, God is the one who is building his church. God is the one who is rebuilding the walls and bringing this group project to fruition. He's the big boss. That's who our God is. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15. And Nehemiah reminds us, in the midst of all the planning and the praying, he says, God is the one who frustrated the enemy's plan. Not Nehemiah, God. We see in verse 20 that as Nehemiah was encouraging his people, he says that God is the one who will fight for them against their enemies. So it truly is a wonderful comfort, isn't it? That as we seek to labor, as we seek to work hard to serve in various ministry and church, as we seek to build up St. Mary's Cathedral and the Kingdom of God, God is the one who will bring the results to completion. God is the one who will protect us from sinful harm and false teaching, albeit we work hard, but God is the one who is in control. So brothers and sisters, as you labor hard, remind ourselves that the results of this church, the size of this church, the how famous this church is not important. The results, we leave it up to God. However well this church will be built up in the next coming years, we trust in God but we work hard, knowing at the back of our mind that God is the one who is building His church. Let's remind ourselves of that. So in closing, as we end this sermon this morning, just to go back to the youth camp I mentioned at the start just now. So one of the things in the camp that we managed to explore as a youth is that what it means to follow Jesus today in the world we live in the class that they are in, the school that they are in. And to my surprise and by the grace of God, I thank Him so much that our youth today actually really want to do that. They want to be set apart. They want to be different than their classmates. And they know that they are different from the world. What they hear on Sunday is very different to what the message they have on their phones or in the world. And I'm really proud of them for wanting to do that. But the one thing that I realize that is quite common across all of them is this, that although they want to do it, they feel very, very alone. They're the only Christian in class, the only Christian among their friends. They stick out. They are so different from everyone. They don't participate in certain things. They felt extremely alone. And the pressure is very real to cave in to the world, to cave in to their classmates, and so on. But the good news is this, as we've seen in Nehemiah today, that they are not alone. They have their brothers and sisters in youth that they can journey with. They have you guys, although you might not literally deal with them on a daily, maybe you're their parents, praise God for that, but they know they're not alone, that you have a role to be praying for them, to be supporting them, and to pray for them, most importantly, to remind them that they are not alone in this journey to follow Christ. But that's not only for youth, right? That's for all of us here today. And to a certain extent, we can all relate. Sometimes in this world, you feel like a stranger. You feel alone. As we seek to build God's kingdom, as we seek to live out our Christian faith in the world, it sometimes feels lonely. But brothers and sisters, as we end, the encouragement from Nehemiah 3 and Nehemiah 4 is that God is in control as we build His kingdom, as we seek to follow Jesus in this world we live in today. As enemies come, He will deal with them. And finally, to remind ourselves that you have one another. You have the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, to journey with you as you seek to build this kingdom that God will one fine day bring it to all completion when He comes again. Let's pray. Sovereign God, we thank You and we trust You with the building of Your kingdom. We thank You that You, Lord Jesus, have come as men to die for us on the cross, to pay the price of our sins so that we may be forgiven and set free so that we can serve You and build Your church today. Help us, Lord, to plan well, to work hard, to rebuild the walls, so to speak, and to build this kingdom, to build St. Mary's together. Pray, Lord, and ask that You enable us to remind ourselves that we're doing this together, to help each other, to cheer each other on, to build each other in love, as we encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So help us, Father, to do all this. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.